Okay, you guys are doing a really good job paying attention in all this long service, aren't you? You can say yes. We're really nearly finished. We're just going to have a reading from the Word, and then we're going to hear what God's going to say to us. But it's not very much longer. But I think for the next bit, it'd be good if you return to Mums and Dads. And Dan's coming down to do the reading for us.
Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Very early on Sunday morning, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone covering the entrance had been rolled aside, so they went in, but they couldn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They were puzzled, trying to think what could have happened to it. Suddenly, two men appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed low before them. The men asked, "Why are you looking in a tomb for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Don't you remember what he told you back in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this, so they rushed back to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. The women who went to the tomb were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several others. They told the apostles what had happened, but the story sounded like nonsense, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, marveling at what had happened.
Well, it's a good morning.
Yes.
I think you need to just turn to two, three people, four people, and just say to them, "Good morning." Now, I'll tell you something, it's a better morning than that. That was a sort of a, good morning, I'm British, here they are. Top of the morning to you. You. This is a good morning. So, find another three people, it might be difficult sitting in the same spot, but you can give it a go, and say, "Good morning." Pastor Jonathan on the front row has just informed me it's afternoon now, but never mind. How many of you have already opened Easter eggs? A smattering. Oh, maybe you're all those good kind of people that save them. I was shopping in a supermarket. We won't give any free advertising for some eggs earlier this week. And I was intrigued by one that came with a hammer. It was out on the front of the box, "Are you man enough? Are you man enough for an Easter egg?" But anyway, it came with a hammer. It was a Yorkie egg. Extra thick chocolate, you see. And it came with a hammer so that you could smash the egg into pieces. And share it, of course. "Are you man enough for an Easter egg?" Well, this morning, you're thinking, where's he going? This morning, the celebration, and the reason it is a good morning, is that the power of God came into a tomb. Yeah. The power of God was like some almighty hammer and smashed the power of death, and life rose outside that tomb. So when you go home and you get out your chocolate egg, if you've got one, smash it and remember that the power of God has come. Yeah. Amen. We saw it in the lives of all these people lined up along the front here, didn't we? You saw it in their faces. You heard it in the praise and worship. This is the power of God. This is the life of God in people who know Him. Yeah? Give me a yeah. Oh, that's better. Anyway, let's look at what Dan was just reading here. What's happening in actual history? The women are running to the tomb, and they meet these men who we've discovered in another gospel are actually angels. But they say to them, "Why are you looking in a tomb for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. You see, you can look for Jesus in history. You can look for Jesus just by going along to a church, but you won't find Jesus in history. You won't find the living Jesus in a memorial service.
That's right.
He's not dead. He's alive.
Yes, come on.
He is the risen Lord. He died on the cross on a Good Friday for the forgiveness of our sins and the blood for our healing, but he rose to new life and new power on Easter Sunday. Come on, give me a yeah. Are you excited, church?
Yes!
He's risen!
Yes!
You know, one of the great things of being the Church of England on Easter Sunday is they have something that they say or shout. And it says, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And they all shout mightily at the end, hallelujah. So I think we should stand. And they do it three times. And we're going to say that because that's what we believe, church. Are you ready? I'll give you a one, two, three. One, two, three. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Hallelujah! And again, Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Hallelujah! Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Hallelujah! Hey, you guys are good. He's not dead, he's living. You can sit again for a minute. See, it is like the Church of England. You stand up and sit down a lot. Anyway, the angel said to him, don't you remember what he told you, that's Jesus in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. You see, Jesus had explained what was going to happen. He'd made the way. Then they remembered, that's the women at the tomb, that he had said this. So they rushed back to tell the 11 disciples. You can just imagine it. Can you imagine them bursting in the room? These ladies just, ah, we've seen him! Woo-hoo! They were full of it. And of course the disciples, yeah, they said, oh yes, oh well, it's all happened, didn't they? No. They thought they were a bunch of foolish women. Yeah, well, anyway, so they rushed back to tell the 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. The women who went to the tomb were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several others. Then they told the apostles what had happened, but the story sounded like nonsense, so they didn't believe it. I mean, that is the fundamental problem with Christianity. It's nonsense. Men don't rise from the dead.
Uh-huh.
Except they did.
Yes!
Come on.
But yeah, it can sound like nonsense, but I tell you, if you're here this morning and it sounded like nonsense to you before, I know that the Lord has been working on you even during this service. You began to suspect there was something different in the praise at the beginning, didn't you? You thought, this is different. This wasn't like last time I went. There's something here. There's something is the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of Christ here himself. When you saw those people lining up the front, from the children to the adults, they all had encountered the living God. And that's important. What was going to change these guys? Peter was the disciple, if you know the story, who was so overcome with fear that when Jesus was being interrogated, even a young girl was saying to him, aren't you one of his disciples? And he was saying, no, because he was afraid they would arrest him. And who knows what they might do to him. He was afraid. Here, he thinks it's nonsense. Except Peter, there's something different. Because it says, however, Peter ran to the tomb to have a look. Well, maybe there is something in what the women are saying. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, marvelling, wondering what had happened. He still wasn't completely there, but there was this sense of, Where's the body gone? What's happened? Is it really true? So what would change Peter even now? Just this, I don't know. In the next few days and weeks, Peter would encounter the Lord Jesus. Jesus appeared to them and spoke to them and said, well, you remember what I said to you? And then by the time you get to what we call the day of Pentecost, when the church really began, it was Peter that stood up in front of a huge crowd of people, the same crowd of people. There must have been people there that were crying for Jesus, crucify him, maybe. There may have been people in that crowd who were hostile, but Peter had changed. He'd encountered Jesus. And those of you that don't yet know him, this morning in this service, I know that you have encountered him. You've encountered him in the praise and worship. You're encountering even now as I speak. Your heart got a little bit faster. It's the presence of God on you now. Perhaps something that you thought was nonsense is suddenly having a meaning to you. Maybe you're a bit like Peter. You're marveling, wondering. But this morning as you've encountered him, you think, yes, yes, this is it. It doesn't matter about the historical proof. We have this. Amen. There is historical proof. But whatever you look at and whatever you read, there'll still come a point when you have to say yes to Jesus. Amen. There's a point of faith where you have to say yes to Jesus. And friends of you and family of the guys that have been baptized today, I pray that even now you'll be coming to a place of saying yes to Jesus. What was it that Peter stood up at the front and preached then in front of all these people? Something nice to make them feel a bit better? No, he said, repent! After telling them that this was the Jesus you crucified, because we've crucified him with our sin. After telling them that, Jesus said, repent, which means turn from your way and turn to God's way. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is the good news, that as you believe in Jesus, as you turn from your old way and you turn to the new way, when you're baptized, you know the forgiveness for everything. As Pastor Clive prayed over one of the guys, this is a new beginning. Everything bad, if you like, everything that belongs of yourself is left at the bottom of that pool over there, and you rise into a new life. Maybe some of you sitting here today, you still struggle with sin as a Christian. Well, maybe you've never fulfilled repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Because I tell you, when you know you've done that, you know that your forgiveness is real. Amen. Because the sin and the sickness and the poverty and everything that belongs to a selfish life belongs on the bottom of that pool, and you've got the new life. Hey, you're just as good looking down the back here. Hey, a nice bunch. So this morning, before we finish, it's time to smash the Easter egg. Yeah? Don't carry death around. Let it be smashed open with the new life of Jesus. Let yourself be transformed from the old to the new. Is the Lord stirring you? There's two kinds of stirrings happening in this place this morning. One is for those of you that know the Lord Jesus already, and you realize this morning, I need to be baptized. I don't know what the reason is that you've never been baptized, but that's not really relevant because the word just says repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. So we're a bunch that like to do what God says, don't we? Yes. Well, we're going to have another lot of baptisms next month. Yeah, that's worth a cheer. So, you guys in that category, today, well, get a piece of paper together at the back. You can put your name down for the baptisms. We don't know when they are yet. We haven't decided the date, but in a month's time or so, there'll be the next lot. But there's another group of people who I just want to address to finish this morning. And that's the group of people who this morning you have encountered Jesus. You've encountered him in the praise and worship. You encountered him in the faces of the people being baptized. And you saw the change from here to over there. You saw the joy in their faces. That's the Spirit of Christ inside them. That's the new life in them. And as I'm speaking, you're also encountering the Lord Jesus by a strange conviction coming in your heart of the need to repent, to turn from doing things your way, which is called sin, to say, I'm going to do it God's way. What might hold you up? You might be thinking, I don't think I could live that Christian life. You're absolutely right, you can't. None of us can. That's why it says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit in us that enables to live this life. So if you're thinking the only thing that holds me back is I could never be holy enough, well, the unholiness is going to be left on the bottom of the pool, and you're going to rise in Christ in a new holiness position with God. And it's the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit in you that will enable you to live it. It's a life of freedom. It's a life of freedom from poverty, from sickness, and from self. Who wants to be set free from self? Amen. Every day we're being saved. So that's the other group, really. Those of you this morning that know, yes, okay, I may have thought of it as nonsense in the past. I may have been searching it out historically. I may have just thought it was something that belonged to the past. Maybe you've even been to a church where it was more of a remembrance service, a memorial. And yet this morning, something has stirred in you that says, Jesus is alive. Yes. And this morning's the morning to take that step and say yes to Jesus. Amen? Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you for a minute. Whether you know him or not. And whether you know him or not, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit one question. This response, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Ask God this question. God, is this for me? Just do it now in your mind. Just say, even if you're not sure if he's there, God, is this for me? And you will hear a small, still voice with that certainty. You'll feel it in your heart, in your innermost being. Yes, it's for you, my child. So there were two groups of people. We'll come back to that second group in a second. The first group was those who know they want to respond to the command that Peter gave to repent and be baptized. So that you don't go away and it becomes a thing of the past. Those of you that said, I'm already a Christian, but I haven't done the be baptized. Just raise a hand that you're going to get baptized. So raise it up high. Okay, give these people a clap. Look, these people are going to get baptized. Make sure you go to the reception desk at the back and get your name and your address down there so that we can begin the list. Okay, and we'll get in touch with you and we'll sort the date. The important thing is you've recognised the need to make that step this morning. And then there's the first group. You've never known the Lord. Maybe, as I said, you thought it was nonsense. And yet this morning, the life that's in this place has grasped you. And so really it's almost the last thing we're doing here this morning. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing in a minute and then respond. Sometimes we ask everybody to close their eyes, but you know, Jesus was crucified quite publicly. And being a Christian isn't a private thing that you don't tell anybody about. It's a life change that affects everyone. Amen. And so you might be feeling, oh, I can't do this in front of everybody, but you can, because God will give you the courage and the boldness now. And so I want you to do as the other group did in a minute. Those of you who want to give your life to Jesus this morning, you've heard that command to repent. And yes, you will need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. I want you to just raise a hand like the others did. You want to give your life to Jesus this morning. Can you raise one hand up high? However old you are, however young you are. Yeah, you can clap those people. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Now we don't. I only saw a few of you there. There's a few of you there, and we might miss you, and we don't want to miss you. So I'm going to do one final thing for you, and this will be the thing that really makes your heart go boom, boom, boom. But you've already said I'm going to get baptized, and I mean, there's nothing worse than getting soaking wet indoors, is there, really? This is Pastor Jonathan. What I'd like you to do is this: we're gonna just come with a final song just to celebrate what Jesus has done for us now. But as we do that, I want you to come down the front here by the side where Jonathan is. You guys that just put your hands up, okay, that first step of boldness. And Jonathan will tell you what it means to repent. He's very good at that. He's quite friendly, don't worry. Don't go by looks.
Thank you, dear.
And Jonathan will just help you that take that step. And also take your names and addresses so we can talk to you about what it is to be baptized, so that for the next baptism, it can be you as well. Yes. Amen? Yes. Okay, so Jonathan's going to go over there. And as I say, in the last song, come forward. Even if now as I've spoken you think, that is for me, although I didn't put my hand up. I want you to go to Jonathan over there. Okay, if there's a whole bunch, there's Mike and Kay, they're also wonderful. In Kay's case, you can go by looks. But not in Mike's. Anyway. Hallelujah. It's a good job they love me. Okay, shall we stand? Shall we really rejoice and thank God? We're going to rejoice, and then Rachel's going to come forward. She's just got a few announcements about the life of the church. Amen? Where's Chad? He got something good for us, Chad.